All right. My topic is greenhouse gas emissions from a corn-soybean rotations on amolisol. I'd like to acknowledge co-authors that didn't make it into the book, but Doug Smith contributed to the first phase of this experiment. And Dennis Buchholz is a support scientist that developed and maintains our database. The first comment there is a given: changes in management can reduce agricultural contributions to greenhouse gases and increase carbon sequestration in the soil. And this project is part of the USDA GraceNet project. The field study was initiated in 2003. Gas measurements were begun in 2004. The objectives were to determine the impact of conventional and conservation practices typical in the eastern corn belt on carbon sequestration and greenhouse gas emissions. Our site is located just west of West Lafayette on the Purdue Agronomy Research Center. I think it's Research and Education Center. The soil is aqual, drummer silt loam, silty clay loam, and a rob silt loam, which is a udol, RG udol. A mean annual rainfall is 935 millimeters. The mean annual temperature is 10.5 degrees C. And the management history of this particular site, it had been several years in no-till corn-soybean rotation. Each treatment was replicated four times. The corn and soybean phases of the rotation were planted each year, so in 4 years of study, I have 4 years for each crop. There were grass plots also, and those were continuous. Greenhouse gas emissions were regularly monitored beginning in 2004 growing season, generally twice a week after nitrogen application until the plant starts to senesce, and then we moved to once a week. And for 2 years, we did monitor during the winter. Gas samples were taken using static chambers, air and soil temperature and water content. Time sampling was measured. Harvest yield, biomass, soil organic carbon were measured. Not all that data is going to be presented here. That's a picture of our static chamber. The lab methodology is what everybody's using. We have a GC with three detectors in tandem, and the carbon content of the soil was analyzed using dry combustion. The climate, I'm going to show you daily precip here in a minute, and temperature. The readings are not midnight to midnight. They're 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. And I do want to note that in June of 2004, near the beginning of our experiment, we had a huge rainfall event. In about a period of 30 hours, we had what was equal to 20% of our annual rainfall. It's not supposed to happen that way. So we had major flooding throughout that area. And so when we look at the nitrous oxide, I really don't have anything included for that first year because we lost it, nothing came off. Everything, it was after the nitrogen fertilizer had been applied and it was gone. We have had a couple of other flooding events, but they were relatively minor. So right here, you can see this major storm. It's that day plus a little bit into the next day and a little bit the previous day. And we had a rainfall event in here that we flooded our samples or our plots just after planting this year. We also got another flood in 2006. Temperatures pretty normal. We had this year, we did have some several hot days. Early, you know, relatively early in the summer. Our hot days usually come in August. Here they came in July. The first phase, 2003-2007, measurements were 2004 to 2007. There's chisel disc, nitrogen applied as urea, ammonium nitrate, and before planting the corn crop. No-till pre-plant, it was no-till, and all the UAN was applied prior to planting the corn crop. NSF is a split application, 50% pre-plant and 50% post-emergence. And the NCC is no-till ryegrass cover crop with pre-plant UAN. The second phase, chisel disc was unchanged. The pre-plant UAN was unchanged. The split application of fertilizer was changed to reduce fertilizer to 70% of recommended. NCC was a ryegrass cover crop that was unchanged. We had a fifth treatment in the first phase, but we had to scratch it because of some irregularities that occurred in the management, but it was primarily no-till, and we have put it into a rotational tillage. Now, rotational tillage, for those that don't know, it's a common practice in some of the wetter soils in the Midwest. And I'm from an erosion lab, and so for me, rotational tillage is sort of backwards because they till the corn into the soybean residue, and they no-till the soybean into the corn residue. So keep that in mind because you'll see the impact of that a little bit later. Mean fluxes over the 4 years, the first four columns here are the phase one, the five columns here are phase two. The differences here noted are just within the phase. I don't think I can compare them between phases, but there is a jump in mean CO2 fluxes between the first 4 years and the second 4 years for chisel disc. You don't see that quite as... Don't see that quite as much in the soybean. This would be the pre-plant no-till. Again, increase in the next 4 years. Not much change in the soybean. This would be the cover crop. This was our highest emitter. And then here is the split application, and then it has been changed to the rotational tillage. Only the cover crop was statistically different here in the last 4 years. Soybeans, none of these are statistically different. So, mean methane fluxes, like every other study that you see off these, is essentially zero. You know, we had a very, very slight sink, but hardly an impact. So, and then nitrous oxide fluxes. Here, chisel disc in the second 4 years, and for some reason we had much higher amounts. Pre-plant. This is cover crop. Cover crop was higher here, but is significantly lower here. Again, this is the split fertilizer, and this is reduced fertilizer, and this is the rotational tillage. So, it really lost a lot of nitrous oxide of the rotational tillage over 4 years. And this wasn't just a 1 year overcoming the other three. They were all 4 years were high. Soybean with nitrous oxide, of course, is considerably lower, though. For all the seasons. Sorry. Other other results include I haven't shown the data for nitrous oxides and minor emission compared to CO2. Our locations, the soils only are frozen for short periods of time during the winter, There were no appreciable N2O losses during the winter, so after 2 years, we sort of quit. I think we're a little bit warmer. You see them west of us in Ames and Mandan. They have considerable N2O losses during the winter. North of us, Demorest, they all have significant soil freezing. We are in a valley, Wabash Valley, River Valley, and we just don't get quite as cold as these other places, and our soil doesn't freeze to any appreciable depth. The last winter, I should have gone out, when the emissions were normalized to yield, there were no significant differences between tillage management systems within a crop, so I didn't show you the data. Reductions greenhouse gas emissions in immediately after the implementation. Your savings are basically achieved through reduction in field operations, or as we heard a talk yesterday, in phase two, the one with the reduced nitrogen fertilizer is one that will really reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Nitrogen fertilizer being by far the largest direct input greenhouse gas cost. SOC content, when done over 0 to 60 centimeter depth range, here you can see the values here at the end of 5 years. We're sampling this fall for the next 4 years. And we lost about 0.6 grams per kilogram average annual loss across all treatments. Our no-till slowed the rate of loss compared to chiseled disc, but not by a lot. When we look at it on a volume basis, in the top 0 to 5 centimeters, we see appreciable losses a little bit higher for the chiseled disc than, well, that was supposed to be a single star. Through chiseled disc, pre-plant, and split fertilizer, the cover crop did not have a significant loss. 5 to 10 centimeter depth, it was this chiseled disc and the split fertilizer. 20 centimeter depth, it was the split fertilizer. The next two depths to 60 centimeters, there were no significant differences. So when we sum it over the 60 centimeters, only the split fertilizer continued to have a significant change, and unfortunately it was negative. I do want to talk briefly, that's my timing, about the grass plots. We had sorghum Sudan grass, SG1, it was mowed once a year and biomass removed. SG2 was mowed twice a year and biomass removed. SG3, it was mowed and the biomass was left on the ground. And then RP is a restored prairie that we did burn every 3 to 4 years. We did have appreciable differences in the grass CO2 fluxes, as you can see there. And the far column here, the white column, is the native prairie, or the grasses. This is by no means a restoration. The plots aren't big enough for a true restoration. But the species are there. It's a little blue stem, big blue stem, and a few others. Mean fluxes over the 4 years, by far the overriding flux is the CO2. Prairie grass actually expends a little bit more CO2. Nitrous oxide and methane were negligible. The conclusions, the grass plot showed a slight increase. This isn't shown, but it does have a slight increase in soil organic carbon, but it's not significant after 5 years. And there were more differences in emissions due to crop due to tillage management, to crop type rather than due to tillage management. No-till systems still lost carbon, although slower in the chiseled disc. Other studies have also shown this slow loss of carbon in no-till systems on some of our soils. It's going to be a while maybe before I see significant differences in this soil, because this soil is very resilient and it's deep enough that you with no-till you're not churning it up, but you are with chiseled disc, but you're churning up still a top layer surface horizon. And so with that, I'd like to acknowledge my very hard-working technician, Rhonda Grafe, and I have a legion of undergraduate students that are out there in all weather taking our gas samples and our temperature and moisture measurements. What they'll do for a little bit of money is amazing. And this was part of the GraceNet project, so it was funded by the USDA ARS. And with that, I'll conclude. And are there any questions? Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
What is the average annual emissions in your area?
All I have is to go off is my plots. And we have a similar study on an alfasol that's south of our town, and its emission rates are about the same as ours. But we're it for the eastern Corn Belt, so I don't know what else. I think there's some I could look at. Ohio, their emissions were comparable, but they accrued carbon in their soils. I just don't know how deep down he measured. So I have to ask Dr. Warren Dick, so I have to ask him how far he measured down. I didn't get that question asked yesterday.